Napoleon once said, history is a fable agreed upon, and the fable agreed upon up to now is that American history is white on white. But sometimes we did get into the history books all wrong. Now you take this one. The Growth of the American Republic, 1942 edition. Samuel Eliot Morison, Henry Steele Cummager. Quote, as for. This has to do with slavery. As for Sambo, Professor Morison, Sambo, Professor Cummager, as for Sambo, whose wrongs moved the abolitionists to wrath and tears, there is some reason to believe that he suffered less than any other class in the South from its peculiar institution. Peculiar institution means slavery. Although brought to America by force, the incurably optimistic Negro soon became attached to the country and devoted to his white folks. Unquote. Those lines were written by two Pulitzer Prize winning white Northern professors. Slavery. That's the place everybody likes to start Negro history. You have ignorant black men being brought over from Africa in chains. Terrible thing, slavery. But this way slavery is taught, it sort of takes the sting out of it. Because the way it's usually taught, people think that we Afro-Americans started with nothing but little grass skirts like the kids in the Tarzan movies. And though America gave us slavery, America kindly gave us religion and a lick or two of education. And when we get more jobs and more education, up from slavery. But we had something before we left Africa, something more than rhythm. I mean, we had a high culture. Culture was so high that great artists in the world are still borrowing from it. Now, if you tell the history of slavery right, you got a big problem on your hands. The slave trader didn't take some savage out of Africa. He took a human being, sold him like an animal, and separated him from his family. America invented the cruelest slavery in the history of the world because it broke up black families. After slavery was over, America kept breaking up the black man's family. And that's some awful history to teach. Now, if you want to look history right straight in the eye, you're going to get a black eye. Because it isn't important whether a few black heroes got lost or stolen or strayed in America's history textbooks. What's important is why they got left out. Now, this country has got a psychological history. There was a master race, there was a slave race. And though there isn't any political slavery anymore, those same old attitudes have hung around. I mean, the burning part of Burn, Baby, Burn is right here in this classroom. We want to thank Mrs. Lovely Billups and the whole gang here at fourth grade for the brilliant and intelligent artwork that they've done here to make this whole broadcast sing. I want you guys to keep pretending that I'm not here. You're doing a great job, and just keep on drawing and reading and writing, doing what you have to do, because I'm going to...
Welcome to Signs and Wonders, the broadcast that came right on time. You are listening to Dawid Yaakov Makobius. I am your host, and today we are holding a Hebrew Council meeting, number 13. I'm coming to you live from Sweden, and before I begin, I would like to open up with a message to our Father. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak to your children. I ask, Father, that you are with us today. I ask that you put the words in my mouth that you wish me to say. I ask that you continue to bless these broadcasts, O Father. I ask that you spread this message out to the four corners, O Father, to the ones that need to hear it. I pray that you bind and bound the demonic forces that wish to hinder this program, O Father. I ask, Father, in the name of Yahushua's precious name, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, everybody, thank you so much for coming. Today was actually a last-minute broadcast, so I'm kind of flying solo tonight. I didn't inform Brother D that I was going to go on in time. I haven't even talked to him today. So he probably doesn't even know the broadcast is on. I sent out an email, I think, about four or five hours ago. And what I wanted to do is I was going to take the week off because my wife just got back from a trip and I wanted to spend some time with her. And then the kids were here. But then I started thinking about it and I was like, well, let me just, something told me that I need to do a broadcast because I think there's questions out there that need to be answered. And I scheduled it for 2 hours. If I was wrong on that and there aren't many questions, then I'll just have to cut it short. But I figured I would have an opportunity to do that. I want to let people know that I'm actually on Just In TV on my website. You will actually, if you go there, you actually see me live broadcasting. And I do that so when the broadcast gets cut off on Skype, you'll see me calling in. I hold the phone up right here. I'll call in with that phone. And then you can still hear me through the website. Okay? But I advise you to mute the Just TV if you're listening to it from my website because the timing isn't perfect. It's kind of off by maybe about 5-10 seconds, which is it's a huge gap. Okay, one thing that I wanted to do today is first, if you want to call, I think you press the 1 on your phone, then your hand will be raised, and then I'll bring you in. I'm actually going to start the chat room now. And, okay, the chat room is starting to be, is being created now. Let me see. The agenda that I have today, if people got the email, I wanted to discuss discussion on the Neanderthal, the six-day creation, how did Esau become the Caucasian, and Caucasian is a mixture between the Caucasus and the Asian people. And if that confuses people, hold on in there. The other question was Esau a Hebrew? Why is it important to know the facts? What is the return of the Anunnaki? And then, of course, we have a closing message to our father. Now, I get this week was kind of like a record week for me. I got about 503 downloads and maybe more than that, which is amazing. And which means that there's a lot of people actually listening to it and downloading the broadcast, which is really good. I got a few questions about it, but nothing that's really, I got a few emails, but no real questions about the Neanderthal. I think a lot of people are pretty confused, but that's okay. All I ask you to do is, just listen to my broadcast. I actually created a blog. The blog is called The Return of the Anunnaki. Once you read the blog, things will start to become clear. You can cross-reference it. You can actually open up scriptures. You can test to see if the giants and the Nephilim actually match. You can do the research in the Strong's Concordance. Okay? And while the internet is available, I ask that you look up any reference to Nephilim and Neanderthal and see what kind of connection and what other people write about it. Because I was surprised that I wasn't the first one to come to this conclusion. And I think I'm going to have to do another broadcast on this to really clarify it and really show what it means. And hold on one second. I got to open a window. Pretty hot right now. One second. Okay. So, let me see. First, I want to welcome everybody into the chat room. Let's see, we have Bumblebee, Mama Bee, Wayward. Okay, welcome everybody. Thank you for coming. We got a few people on the call line. Cool. Like I said, if you want to ask a question, I ask that you raise your hand. And I'm going to ask if I can do a sound check. If someone in the chat room can let me know that you can hear me, so I know that I'm not just speaking to myself right now. And if this gets knocked off, like I said before, I'm going to call in. Okay, do the sound check real quick. And then, okay, can you hear me in the chat room? Hold on a second. Okay. All right, I see that. Okay, I'm being heard. Okay, nice. All right, thank you, y'all. Thank you, y'all. Okay, now, like I said before, this broadcast is really for you, okay? And it's for your questions. I actually got a I got a comment on my broadcast, the one, you know, Hebrew Council number 12, and a lady said a comment. She said that this man is a fraud, and she said, why did you kick me out and all this craziness? And I explained to her, if you read the comment, I explained to her, I said, look, I didn't kick you out on purpose. What I meant to do was put ignore, but I didn't know I was going to kick her out. And then I asked her if she can call back in. And then I invited her to call up today, and then she can basically ask her questions now. Because what happens is, when we're doing a broadcast, and I do a lot of research on it, I mean, sometimes it takes me a month to come up with the stuff that I want to say. You know, I already understand it, but what I do is I put together, how am I going to you know, put this in a comprehensive format in 2 hours, you know? So I write down the script, I get the samples that I want to say, and then when I present it, you know, it's kind of rude when people are talking and putting links to other things inside of the chat room, and it's really distracting. And for those people that actually follow my broadcast, take this information serious. And then when someone comes in that isn't really a part of the family, because there is a family here, they come in and then they disrupt everybody by putting things in to distract us. So we.
Hello? Okay, I'm back. Not 100% sure if... can everybody hear me in the chat room? If you can hear me, just put I can hear you, because I'm back in. And I just got kicked out. Okay. All right, everybody. It seems like... Okay, thank you. Okay, you can hear me now. All right, thank you so much for letting me know you can hear me. Like I said, y'all, go to Just TV. You see me stressing and woofing. Hair all puffed up because I got upset. All right, now look here. Obviously, something is going on with Skype lately. And I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh, it's because of my broadcast. I don't know. I think there's something more technical, because I think it would be pretty obvious for them to keep knocking me off. But I wouldn't be surprised. You know, I wouldn't be surprised, because obviously something I'm saying might be agitating them. Okay. But before I got disconnected, what I wanted to say was, you know, I had a comment, and I was hoping that the lady that commented on here would actually call in. So, and I can actually speak to her. She has a question. Okay? Now, the guest call-in number is 347-826-9484. That's 347-826-9484. And if you have a question, I think you just hit the 1 on your phone, and then your hand will be raised. Okay. So, and basically, that's really why I'm doing this, is for people to ask the questions, because everybody was pretty chatty when the broadcast was going on. But then when they want to speak, no one is brave enough to actually say anything. So, you know, I do not understand what that's all about. Okay. All right, well, let me continue. Now, so, I don't think I'm going to get kicked off. If they kick me off from the phone, then you know that something's really wrong. So I had to actually call in, so it might sound a little bit different now. the Neanderthal. Let me first give you a background on how I actually came up with this Neanderthal, okay? What happened? Well, I was looking at the Nephilim, and actually, no, it actually didn't start with the Nephilim. It started with Japheth. I was looking at Japheth, and I looked at the connection between Japheth, the Hittites, the Canaanites, the Amalekites, and I started to follow these lines on where Japheth came from. And I've seen this reoccurrence of the Amalekites, okay? And I've seen how they mixed into the line of Esau, how they mixed into the line of Benjamin, how they were mixing it actually into the line of Shem in some points. And, of course, Shem is Esau, okay? So they mix in the line of Shem, mix in the line of Ham, I mean, everywhere. So then I said to myself, something is really weird about this Japheth line. And I said, well, where did this come from? Who exactly are these Amalekites? Okay. Now, are the Amalekites the seed of Noah? You know, and they said, well, if they're the seed of Noah, then that means that all this evil had to come from Noah. But that's not the case. You know, we read the different books in Jubilees where it says that, you know, we're going to leave a portion of these demonic beings down here to test man. Now, that's a nice explanation, but that's not 100% accurate, because there were giants afterwards, okay? Now, these giants had a different characteristic and a different DNA than the line of Noah. So what we have to do is we have to say, okay, well, who exactly are these people? Did these fallen angels have intercourse with women twice? Or was this the children of the fallen angels that we're looking at? You see, there's a lot of things that are, there's a lot of loose ends here. Okay? And these are some really, these are heavy questions that I was trying to figure out. But then when Kofa Network was speaking about the Neanderthal and how they were actually found the DNA inside of the European, a light bulb went off, and I said to myself, wait, hold on one second. This is the Caucasus Mountain, and then we have the Caucasian, and we have the Asian, you know, then we have these caves. And I thought about the Neanderthal, and, you know, you start to see how all this kind of starts to mix into it, starts to tell a story, because I'm a strong believer that the Most High does things naturally. That's why we're not seeing any crazy, you know, fireballs coming from the sky. You know, we haven't seen the last miracle that we known of is when mass miracle that we read about is the splitting of the sea in the Red Sea. Okay, now, what type of mass miracle has there been since then? Most of the things are through prophets making prophecies. It seems like we have to go through this in a natural way. So the characteristics of the Most High is that the Most High works naturally. Okay? So wait, hold on one second. I was reading a chat. Sorry about that, y'all. So when I think about how things have to be unnaturally, I say, okay, well, how can that match up with the things that are going on in this world right now? Okay? So you start to think about these findings of these Neanderthal bones. Okay, now remember, I'm messing this up with Japheth. We're finding these Neanderthal bones, But yet we read about in the creationist that the earth is only 6,000 years old. You know, and as science gets more advanced and as we become more mature in our knowledge and we become less controlled by the religious establishment, we start to realize that the earth is a lot older than 6,000 years. Now, let's hit on that 6,000 years really quick. You know, we are told that the earth was made in just six physical days. Okay? In the seventh day, he rested. Now we have 6,000 years. Okay? Now, whenever we have these absolute numbers, we have to always go back to Freemasonry. You know, whenever you see the numbers 9 or 11 and 6 and 3, what we're looking at is we're looking at Freemasonry. Okay? Now, if we understand the creation of the 1611 Bible and how it was created and who was involved in that creation, we look at the characteristics of King James, we look at the characteristics of Sir Francis Bacon, and what Sir Francis Bacon was and what he was about. Understand, the history and the religion of the Hebrews was in the hands of the European. Okay, it was in the hands of the enemy. The Most High was not involved in that. To an extent, but not to the extent where people think. Now think about the 1611 Bible. Add all those digits up, you come with 9. Okay? 6, 7, 8, 9. There's another 9. What we're looking at here is we're looking at Freemasonry. Okay? So I make this point because I want people to think about that 6-day creation. Now, I'm not trying to change your belief or your religion. No, I'm trying to make you think. But most powerful, think for yourself. Now, hold on 1 second. I think Brother D just called in. Hold on. Hey, Brother D.
Hey, brother. How you doing?
Oh, hey, man. I was telling people that I didn't tell you that this was on. I said it was pretty much the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
So I was did you get the email?
I got it a little bit ago.
Okay, welcome.
Welcome, Shalom.
Shalom. All right, I'm gonna. Hey, do you wanna log in? Did you log in?
No, I didn't because I didn't get that from you. You know.
Oh, it's the same as last week.
Same. Okay. All right. I'll do that.
All right. Okay, my brother. All right. Let me continue. When you look at the six day creation, you have to be critical on about who wrote it, and you have to really start thinking for yourself now. And I can't emphasize that more. Okay, you have to think for yourself because the leaders that we have been misleading us for a long time. Let's start naming some leaders. Okay, we have Creflo Dollar. Okay. We have Jakes. We have Swagger. Baker. We have, I can't even think of anything. Oh, Benny Hinn. You know, I mean, I don't even know who the leaders are because I don't have any, but I'm thinking of all these people that I hear in the media that are supposed to be Christian people, and Swagger, Baker, all the ones that actually fell. I know them because they fell a long time ago and crying, and now they continue to have these ministries. But these people are supposed to be the leaders of the Christian community. And even the ones in our church, in our neighborhood, like even the church that I went to, you know, the pastor was stealing money. The deacons were sleeping with the wives. You know, and I'm thinking to myself, what is going on here? We are in a state of emergency. The people that are supposed to be leading us are misleading us, okay? So it's vital that you have to think for yourself. You have to think for yourself. You have to pick that book up. You have to get the Strong's Concordance, and you have to start reading it. Now, here's what's going to happen if you start reading it. Everybody is going to come on one accord. everybody is going to be led to the truth, because there really is only one truth. If you are sincere in your heart and you truly want to know the Father, there's only going to be one conclusion, right or wrong. Okay? There's only going to be one conclusion, and you will find it. Okay? Now, if there is a six-day creation, I mean, if the earth was created in 6 days, and that's the truth, then we should see it everywhere. It should be all around us. We should go to scientists and see it in the bones. We should see if there are fossilized bones that have turned to rock. Okay, there's a difference. If it's a fossilized bone, that means that bone has turned to a rock. It takes a long time for the bone to turn to rock. Okay? It takes 6,000 years to travel from one part of the solar system to another part of, in the universe. I mean, I'm not no scientist, but I'm just saying it takes. If we look at how fast light travels, it takes light more than 24 hours to come here. You know, I mean, you have to use math. Math is absolute. When you start to use mathematics and you start to put these into the equation, you start to say, wait a minute, this Earth is far older than 6,000 years. And I use an example. If you look at a tree and you look at the rings of the tree, they have certain trees where they count the rings, and it goes back past 10,000 years. Okay? So that right there, if the tree is older than the creation, then that common sense will tell you that it's a lot older. Okay, now I beat that to death. I just wanted people to think for yourself. Okay? But it's important to understand that if the earth is older than that, then we say, well, who told us this? Well, the people that are telling you this want you to know that, because they want to keep you under control. During the time when this 6,000-year theory was being introduced, we had two people that were pushing it. Martin Luther. One person that was pushing it mostly, it was Martin Luther. This is the guy that did the Reform movement. He took everything literally. Okay? Everything literally. He didn't really know how to separate things that was like an allegory. You know? And he was extremely dogmatic. He was effective in creating the separation between the Catholics and the Protestants, because he protested with his dogmatic interpretations. But what he did was he created a division in his own Protestant movement. That's why you have so many denominations, because everybody started getting their own dogmatic interpretation. So if we can't even agree within in this Protestant separation of the Catholic Church, and then we create thousands of denominations, then how can we trust when they tell us that the earth is only 6,000 years old? We can't. We have to think for ourselves. Okay? It's like part common sense, but if you want to continue to believe that, then what you're doing is you're basically keeping yourself from a whole lot of knowledge that can be useful to you as an individual and your power. Okay? You and your power. Now, study about the creation, and study that the creationists were meant to fight against the evolutionists. We have a battle between the evolutionists and the creationists. And while these two are fighting, we have something else going on in the background, which is truth. Okay? Something that we don't want to hear. Neither the creationists nor the evolutionists have came up with that the Hebrews of the Seed of Yaakov were people of color. Because the evolutionists had the anthropologists in there, paleontologists in there. They had the historians all digging in the bones and all arguing about things. Then we have the six-day creations going all the way back to 6,000 years and taking the information from the Jews and looking at all the stuff. But yet none of them will admit that the people of the book are people of color. Both of them participated in the slave trade. Both of them continue to push the slave trade. Both of them control the educational system. So while we're paying attention to what these people are teaching us about creation and evolution, the truth is somewhere in the background. Okay? So if you want to continue to think and hold on to that creationist theory, understand that you're holding on to European mind control. And if you want to have it, then have on. Me, personally, I don't listen to none of it. I think for myself. I study for myself. Okay? Now, Japheth, when I started to look at the Neanderthal, I said, okay, if this is, if this has an age in which they're telling me, and believe you me, I do not trust in what the scientists tell me because they're guessing. Everything that they tell us, understand, it's a theory, okay? It's still a theory. Now, it's like we can either believe in their theories or we can look over their theories and say, oh, that's a nice theory, and then put our own understanding in there and try to come up with what the Most High has written for us. Because only a few people can actually understand this. Okay, this isn't for everybody. Okay? Only a few people can actually understand this. And if you are blessed by the Most High to really comprehend this, then you're a special person. And what does that mean to be a special person? It means that you should teach it so that those that don't understand it can understand it. Because if you want to know what's going to defeat this so-called New World Order, these Illuminati, what will defeat them is when people come together and understand what has happened and start yelling it loud and clear. And those that are in bondage will hear the truth and free themselves. Okay? You cannot put a person under slavery that knows he's free. Okay? What did Harriet Tubman said? She said, I freed 1,000 slaves, but I would free 1,000 more if they would have known that they were slaves. This is what the situation we're in right now. Okay? A lot of us are in the slavery of religion. We're in this bondage, but we don't know it. We think we're free. We think, oh, you know, we got baptized in Jesus, so now we're free. But yet, they didn't tell us that his name was actually Yahushua, not Jesus. And that the power is in understanding that name, Yahushua. If everything is in the name, and they said it was Jesus, but didn't tell us about the J that was changed 500 years, then what are we doing? If they don't tell us that the people that are actually of the seed of Yaakov are people of color, and telling us that those are the Ashkenazi in Israel, if they don't tell us about the politics that are involved in that, then how was that freedom? That's bondage. You're in bondage of the lies through a system that wants to keep you in bondage. So the threat to this system is understanding the truth. Okay? And how do you understand the truth? You have to take control. It is up to you as an individual to say, look, I'm not going to listen to people who are going to tell me not to do my own research and not to read this word and not to come up with an interpretation that I can understand that matches with the will of the Father, and then go back to this dogmatic understanding that was taught to me by the people that wanted to put me in bondage. It is up to you to understand it. Now, I'm not telling you to just throw everything away. No, I'm saying, okay, you take what someone tells you, you listen to it, you say, hey, that's nice, well, let me do my own research. Let me break this strong concordance down. What does a snake mean? Does it mean a literal snake, or is it to hiss like a snake? Is this the characteristics of a snake, or is this a physical snake? If it's a characteristics of a snake and someone translated it to snake, then you have to start to think and you say, well, why did they put snake there instead of the translation? Okay, and who put it there? See, these are some vital questions that you have to ask yourself in order to understand what was written for you. Okay? Now, I hope I'm being clear today. Okay? I hope I'm being clear today. Now, to get back to Japheth, how I came up with the understanding of the Neanderthal and Japheth and the Anunnaki is because the Amalekites were basically using that seed of Japheth to usurp all of the different children of Noah, Ham and Shem and Esau and all these other people. I said, okay, then where is the root of these beings? What are the root of these Amalekites? And how does these Amalekites match up with Cain, and how do they match up with these fallen angels? And actually, Zachariah Sitchin and these people that wrote The Return of Anunnaki, they're the ones who gave it away, because I know they're lying. And they're like pushing this Anunnaki so much. And I know 100% that these people are lying. I mean, come on, there's pictures of UFOs coming down on strings, and the same pictures they're using, the CIA is using and trying to tell us that the UFOs are landing. So I know that it's a big fraud, okay? So what I do is I say, okay, why are they trying to push this fallen angel thing so much? And that means there has to be something about these fallen angels they're trying to push. And then when you start to look at the fallen angels, you start to really translate it. You start to say, okay, hold on. This giant does not mean literal giants. Okay, now remember when I was talking about the snake, how it's hissed like a snake? This is the characteristics. This is a verb. You're confusing a verb with a noun. Okay? A verb with a noun. Now, we know that. That's like simple English. Okay? Now, if a giant is actually a verb and not a noun, then it doesn't mean literal giant. Then we find out that giant is a tyrant, a bully. Okay? Then we find out that there's other words that actually give you the characteristic or the definition of a giant. And that's why I came up with those definitions. We're rot. It means it was deceased, you know? So now the stories that have been turned into a religion are actually, we have to take that religion away and actually hear the story that is trying to tell us. And this is my point on trying to get people to understand the difference between the Neanderthal and the giants, and how they are one and the same. Because the giants meant an actual individual that was a tyrant. But how can this tyrant be a tyrant at this time? Well, he was a lot stronger. He was a lot smarter. And he was an ancient being. Remember? Men of old, renowned. See, because we have only stuck on the 6,000 years and the fact that these are fallen angels, we don't think any further than that. But we have to think further than that, okay? And if you can think further than, it's like if someone says, okay, you can't go outside of this room and just think of everything in this room. But outside of this room is where the true knowledge is. But they make sure they lock the door, keep you in, close the windows, and said there is no room outside of that. And you will be stuck in that area of knowledge if you cannot get outside of that room. But once you kick the doors down and you actually say, hey, there's more out here, you start to understand more. It's the same thing. If they say that it's only 6,000 years, that's it. You're not going to go any further than that. If someone says it's only the fallen angels, that's it. Okay? Now, if you trust and believe in the Most High and you stray outside of that knowledge, those little barriers, he ain't going to let you fall. He's going to bring you back if it's wrong, or he's going to give you more. He's going to bring you back if it's wrong outside of that knowledge, or he's going to bring you back in and keep you in the area of safety. You have to put trust in the Most High. Now, if you kick down those barriers of the 6,000 years and the fallen angels and you start to think outside of that, that's what they say, think outside the box, then you will start to understand that there's more to this. And this is what I'm trying to present to you. But I'm not just presenting it to you. I'm asking you, begging you, for you to do your own research and teach yourself. Become that powerful being that you were meant to be. If you're listening to my message right now, then you have the ability that I have, which is to break down this word and get an understanding for yourself and teach your family. Okay? Teach your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, everybody that's going to listen to you, tell them how to break down this word. Because time is short. There's going to be a time when we're not going to be able to have this venue to speak about it. Okay? Now, to get back to what I was saying, when we look at the giants and we realize that it doesn't mean literal giants, it actually means the characteristics of these beings, we can start to put two and two together when we actually bring the Neanderthal into the equation. We look at the Neanderthal, and we look at the characteristics of him. Everything that the giant said he did, everything, every characteristic of the giant, the characteristics of the Neanderthal. Then we find out that the Neanderthal actually lived in close proximity to the European. We find out that the Neanderthal actually interbred with the European, and this is proof in science because they have the DNA. It's scientific. They're even admitting it. And the reason why they have to admit it, because two things. One, they kind of shot themselves in the foot. First, they have the evolutionists against the creationists. The evolutionists are trying to prove themselves, and the creationists are trying to prove themselves, so it's an argument between themselves. They already think that we're dumb as heck, so they don't even worry about us understanding where we're coming from because they figure that we're just slaves and they don't care. But there are people that are actually looking at it. So now you have the evolutionists, creationists, fighting, bringing up all this truth, and they're like, see, I told you that the Neanderthal mix, look, 4% DNA, right? And they got people on one side of the camp arguing, trying to get funding to prove their point. The people on the other side of the camp arguing, trying to prove their point, and we're sitting here looking at the argument, getting the information. The other thing that they have against them is the Internet. A long time ago, we wouldn't be able to go to the university and pull out a paper on the Neanderthal and read it. We don't even know what paper to pull out to read. But now on the Internet, we can just type in Neanderthal and lead us to some paper in the Max Planck Institute and, you know, research and done in London. And these are them arguing with themselves, but we're actually getting the information. So now we understand that this Neanderthal actually mixed in with the European gene. So then when we start to put two and two together, we realize that, oh, hold on now, this actually means that these people existed during the time of Noah, during the time of Adam, okay? And then we start to have an understanding, and then we blend this in with the word because it's going to make sense if you actually know how to read the word, okay? I mean, there's a lot more that I really want to bring forth, but before I can bring that forth, first we have to get rid of this mind control. That's why it's vital that we have to get rid of the mind control first. That's vital. All right, that's why I say detox. Okay, get yourself, you know, stop watching television, drink fresh juice, use water filters, exercise. Then, once you get yourself in the right frame of mind, then start reading this word, pray to the Most High, get rid of the religion completely. Trust in our Father, read, pray for understanding. Listen to what I can give you. Double check it. Do your own research, okay? And then make yourself a powerful person. Let me, Brother D.
Yes, I'm here, brother.
Hey, Brother D, if you logged in.
No, I'm here.
Brother D, do you hear me?
Yes. I'm here. I can hear you.
Hey, hold on, y'all. Let me, I'm going to, I see someone.
Dawid, I can hear you.
Hold on 1 second. Area code 203.
Well, hello, Brother Dawid. How are you? Brother Dawid?
Hey, hold on 1 second. I think I have to. Yeah, I think there's something wrong with my my phone line. What I'm going to do is, since I can't hear anything on the phone, I'm going to play a quick audio file, and then I'll be right back. Okay, let me see what I have here. Hold on 1 second, y'all. Sorry about the technical problems. Okay, I'm going to play some Psalms. Psalms 83. All right, I'll be right back.
Psalm 83. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace, and be not still, O God. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people, and consulted against thy hidden ones. They have said, come and let us cut them off from being a nation, that the name of Israel may be no more in remembrance. For they have consulted together with one consent. They are confederate against thee. The tabernacles of Edom and the Ishmaelites, of Moab and the Hagarenes, Gebal and Ammon and Amalek, the Philistines with the inhabitants of Tyre, Asser also has joined with them. They have holpen the children of Lot. Selah. Do unto them as unto the Midianites, as to Sisera, as to Jabin at the brook of Kishon, which perished at Endor. They became as dung for the earth. Make their nobles like Oreb and like Zeb, yea, all their princes as Zeba and as Zalmunna, who said, let us take to ourselves the houses of God in possession. O my God, make them like a wheel, as the stubble before the wind. As the fire burneth the wood, and as the flame setteth the mountains on fire, so persecute them with thy tempest, and make them afraid with thy storm. Fill their faces with shame, that they may seek thy name, O Lord. Let them be confounded and troubled forever. Yea, let them be put to shame and perish. That men may know that thou, whose name alone is Jehovah, art the most high over all the earth.
Hey, Brother D, do you hear me?
Dawid, I can hear you, man. Can you hear me?
Because I think I'm going to have to call back in.
I can hear you, brother. Okay. Yeah, I can hear you.
And there's a huge delay. It's about 10 minutes. No, 10 minutes. About 5 seconds. Okay. You know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to call back in. Okay. All right, now this is delay, so I heard it about, you know I said this a little ago. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to let you answer some, take some calls that are coming, and then I'm going to call back in about 2 seconds, okay?
Okay. Okay, call it 203.
Oh, hello, Brother Daryl. How are you?
Good. How are you today, sister?
I'm fine. This is Sister Shawanda out of Connecticut.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going good. I just wanted to make a comment about the Neanderthal slash Nephilim. And, I'm a history buff, and I never quite understood how the earth could only be 6,000 years old, or then I heard an astronomical number of 60 trillion years old, and I could never, reconcile the numbers. And I'm thinking there was dinosaurs, and, we have fossils, there's all these things. So I never understood it. And then when they say, well, Europeans became the way they look because of the weather, I'm thinking, how could that be? That just doesn't make sense. And then I had seen a picture of one of the first Europeans, and he was a black man, but he had more what they would consider Asiatic features. But you could still see people that look like that in Africa today, especially in southern Africa. So he looked similar to that. They didn't give him any type of hair texture; they just had him bald. And I'm thinking to myself, now how did that man turn white just off being in cold weather? That just doesn't sound right. But then you see that the Neanderthal was really the Nephilim, and how they came upon the daughters of man, and then here you go. And they only can find it on the male line. They can't find it on the female. So either they were sterile, or I'm not quite sure what happened. But the knowledge is out there, but because of the situation our people are in and the curses that we are under, we don't understand what's going on. We look at it and we're like, oh, we don't question why they're the only ones that tell us what this is. Well, you're this type of person, and you're this type of person, and we're this type of person. And, you start questioning, it's like, well, how can they tell us exactly who and what we are? But most people don't question it. They just go about it because they've trained us for so long that we don't even really per se question it. And if we do have a slight hesitation or question, it goes away really fast. It's nothing that we're going to study. So I really enjoy the fact that Brother Dawid is bringing this out, although I do listen to Kofa, and they do talk about this, but maybe the people that don't listen to them will have an insight into what happened and, a better understanding. So I'm loving it.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's as far as it's somebody turning white and somebody walking up north and getting caught in the snow and his skin changing colors, that's retarded.
Oh, I know, but that's what I've heard when I was coming up. That's what they used to say.
Yeah, I've listened to people address that, and I've heard, you know, I don't get into what a lot of stuff that Bobby Hemmett talks about, but he made one point one time about this changing colors. You got somebody down south, intelligent, got civilizations going on, and then he walks up into Europe and gets caught in the snow, and he's too damn dumb to build a snow sled or get out of the snow, and then he turns white. I mean, that's crazy.
Hey, brother.
You back?
You hear me?
Go ahead.
Let me finish.
Okay,
I'll make sure you hear.
Okay. Try reading. Read. Get a Septuagint in English. Read Genesis 1, and then read Genesis 2. And then, you know, those who make that argument that Genesis 2 is just a deeper explanation of Genesis 1, read the Septuagint, and you're going to see that it's different. Everything is different. That male, that female, those animals, the stuff is different. We're talking about two different things.
Oh, I'm very aware, but I'm saying when we're
coming
up. Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying, it's not to you, it's to anybody that's listening.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you know, so it's you can see that there's a difference. The timelines have been distorted, and that's done on purpose.
Yeah,
and this is why they put
was.
Up, they set up these churches, and we have all these fake people teaching. And I noticed, you know, Dawid, you call out some of the fake teachers like Creflo Dollar and you know, T.D. Jakes, but you left one out, so we can't forget him because he was in the news this week, and that is Eddie Rapunzel Long. With that dead raccoon that he called a wig that he put on his head.
Oh, no.
That's another one that's put out here to deceive us.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, we do have to, I mean, research and just put this stuff together because I gave, Dawid, you know that I was going over some information with you this week. Every place that they claim that these fallen angels were, I happened to find a Neanderthal cave there.
Yeah.
Mount Hermon.
Yeah.
And they looked at Mount Hermon, right? Ooh,
yep.
Big prominent Neanderthal cave that they call the Gates of Hell.
Yep.
It's out there, people. Just put it together.
Yeah, you just have to put it together. I mean, come on. It's like it's nobody's fault but your own. You can't blame nobody but yourself if you ain't getting this. That's it.
Well, I just wanted to say hello to Brother Dawid.
Oh, hello. Hey, you know one thing? Can you please give us your information so we can speak to you offline?
Oh, sure. I'm on WhoNet, and I had some questions for you. I was hoping that you would come back. And like last time, I swear, I'm not going to take up a long time like I usually do when I call. But I just wanted to put out there that also, too, for those people who have that are under this mind control, that are drunk spiritually, they can't really explain where they come from without telling the secret. Because if you explain where you come from and what you've done, then people are going to be like, whoa, 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 whoa. Wait now. So that's going to bring up too many questions. But there, you have to, you know, my mother used to always say when I was a child, you know, when you tell one lie, you got to keep building on this lie because, you know, if you forget what you say or, you know, you rephrase it, you'll be found out. I never was a good liar anyway, so I mean, I didn't, you know, but she used to always drill that into my head. You always, and another thing is what's done in the dark will eventually come to light, and what we're seeing now, we're seeing a crack, and we're getting the information, and the crack that we're seeing that light, and that's information coming. As time goes on, we're going to see more and more until we see the whole picture, the full picture, and I'm excited for that.
Yeah, me too, sister. What's the name that you're under on WhoNet?
I believe it's under S. Bonner. I think it's under S. Bonner. Okay. Yeah, I believe it's under S. Bonner. But I was reading, because I was out of, my internet was down for like almost a week, but I could get it off of the free internet across the street. I live across the street from the hospital. So I was reading The Seed of Benjamin. And also I was really taken, and I'm glad that you brought that point up about Jacob's name being turned to Israel, because I was like, why would he maim him and then rename him? I never understood that. And I thought it was just me. And when you broke it down, I went over it like two or three times. I'm like, this is great. This is exactly why he does not call himself an Israelite. I understand why you don't do that now. But, brothers, you know, I can go on and on. I just want to thank you for the information that you're bringing out. And I'm going to be quiet now.
Hey, you can talk as much as you want, because you're making a lot of sense. A lot of sense. But I'm going to answer some questions.
Are you that seed of Benjamin, too?
Yes.
And how? Because I
yes.
was wondering how Paul, although a Benjamin from the tribe of Benjamin, was able to be, what was he, a Pharisee or was he a Sadducee? I can't remember.
He was a Pharisee.
A Pharisee, I was wondering how he was able, although he was a Hebrew, I was thinking, how was he able to do that until you broke down how the Benjamites were being kind of naughty and they were, you know, starting drama. So I got that, and I love that understanding. I was able to follow with that with my own research, and you were so straight on. So, you know, I really like that.
Okay, thank you so much, sister. Now, one thing what is that?
Go ahead and address it. Yeah, you do have another caller.
Okay, I'm going to get that caller, but I just want to hit on something. She hit on two things that I was doing research on, and that's the Neanderthal and the white skin, and also the sterile part. Now, there's an article I'm going to place on my website, on WhoInIt, and I don't like calling it my website. I like calling it our website, okay? What I'm going to put on our website is, in the research section, I'm going to put a section just for the Neanderthal. And so if you ever confront somebody that want to question you on this, you're going to have the research to back it up. And I'm going to make sure I put it in really good, I'm going to explain it really well in the research section. It's going to have a whole section about the Neanderthal. Anyway, in the broadcast last week, I talked about, I think it's phytomelanin, okay? Sister girl, understand that first we have to think, okay, about the Most High and how. You still hear me, D?
I'm still here with you.
Okay, because sometimes. Okay, now first you have to think about what the Most High wanted us to do with these Neanderthals. So your mind can start to imagine. Okay, now being imaginative ain't stepping outside the word. I mean, you're allowed to think. Okay, so now when you're being, you have to start. Okay, since they lied to us, what exactly is going on here? Do you understand that these Neanderthal, they were supposed to be extinct? The man that we are was the man that was to till the earth. It was to take care of the earth. The earth is changing. It's turning from cold and ice to heat, warm. He placed the man in the garden. It's like they're telling us a story. The earth is changing. So as the earth is changing, these new people that are here on this earth are husbanders. They are married to the earth, meaning like they're turning that soil, planting that seed. The seed first came into being, if you understand history, about 12 to 20,000 years ago is when people started to learn about how to plant. Prior to that, right? Okay, now, let's get back to this. So these Neanderthals were supposed to be off of the earth, but these demonic spirits took control of these bodies and didn't let them go off the earth. But they had something in them that didn't allow them to be here on this earth, and that's that genetic mutation called phytomelanin. The phytomelanin is where that gene comes from. It's like the pale gene. This pale gene, when exposed to the sun, creates a reaction that causes cancer, and you die. The Neanderthal did not live long. It only lived between 40 years, 35 to 40 years. It was dying off rapidly. But in order to save that Neanderthal, what did it have to do? It had to take the other man, take that melanin, that EU melanin, okay? So what happens? Rape, okay? The Neanderthal now has to rape that other man for his survival. Now, I'm not talking crazy. This happened. But we have to understand, why did these fallen angels allow that to happen? Because they would be wiped out. Okay, first they have them, they save them by making them climb up to these mountains and building ships, and then they have them attacking the coasts of Africa and then going into the daughters of man. Okay, now what happens? These daughters, they create hybrids. And this is sister hit on something important, sterile. Do you understand that when you read this research, and I'm going to give you, it actually talks about how these hybrids were sterile. They were sterile. Somehow they got out of that because it's like when you take a horse and you create a mule and the mule can't produce, it's the same thing. The Most High created these, created it so that they cannot reproduce, but yet they got around it. And they created what we have now. So, but the when these beings were, these giants, okay, when they came on the scene, they were sterile, but what also happened is they were actually at least two to three times stronger than the average man. They also had 20 pounds of muscle more than us. They were giants. They were powerful people, but they couldn't produce, okay? But the women could produce. And this is probably why there's, you know, they come from the mother's line. I don't know. I'm still investigating that. Maybe someone else can help me out with that. But, you know, I'm just saying that please understand that the seed of the pale skin and the red hair was a gene that was in the Neanderthal. The Neanderthal actually needed this gene when there wasn't much sun. He would actually take the sun that wasn't direct. And the when I say direct, meaning like the earth, since the earth started to change when we had the 10,000 years ago, when the ice age started melting, there was a layer around the earth that started to get less and less, and then the sun's rays started to come through. When those sun rays came through, okay, the Neanderthal couldn't take that, and then it was cancerous to them. So they were actually supposed to die off naturally. It was their time to go. But the Neanderthal was like a giraffe or a gorilla or a lion, a woolly mammoth. It didn't have the spirit of the Most High. Remember, he said, the Most High created us with the breath. He breathed his breath into Adam, and he became a living soul. He didn't breathe his life into the, he goes, let us make man in our image. They didn't have the breath of the Most High in them. But they did have a spirit in them, and that was the spirit of what we call the Nephilim, okay, or the, I call them the damn demonic spirits. But understand that the white, this gene, this Caucasian gene, we can trace it back to that phylomelanin, which is actually, when you do research, you see that it's in there. And also, when you look at the sterility, the part, the fact that they're sterile, that was actually also talked about when you do research on it. Anyway, I just wanted to make that point. Brother D, you said there's something else?
Yeah, I said that there was, we got another caller, if you're ready to take him.
Oh, yeah, I'm ready to take
him. Okay, 313, you're on. Shalom.
Shalom, family. Peace.
Shalom, man.
We, you know, and guests, y'all doing an excellent job. Keep up the good work.
Who's speaking?
It's Brother Matthew.
Hey, Brother Matthew, how you doing?
Shalom. I just had a quick question. With all the knowledge, you know, and with our enlightened awakening, you know, that we're getting into right now, with like I hear what y'all was saying, with all the false teachings, such as, why is all the separation coming upon right now? You know, you got different brothers talking about metaphysical science, and we got the Hebrew Israelites, we got the Moors with Kemetic science. How can we, what should we do individually to start really tapping into the Most High, Yahweh's ways to really change what's really going on in this physical world right now? And then what is your comment on a lot of people such as Brother Panic and Bobby talking about the fallen angels, Nephilim, are a part of us, and then Brother Dr. Ivan Van Certain, we're talking about the pink African.
Say the pink African?
Right, where you say their skin tone changed, dealing with the ice age and all that, that everybody was once Africans on this planet, and then the Neanderthals happened to turn into, you know, something triggered that transmutation dealing with the Ice Age, you know, because they're saying now, the Chinese saying now that everybody that's not African has a Neanderthal gene in them, except for African people.
Yeah. Did you, brother, did you hear, did you listen to my broadcast I did last week?
No, I must have missed that. I have to go back into the archives because it's a lot. And, hey, I'm a young brother, and I'm trying to get the truth. And, you know, we have so much, many master teachers that's coming out with all this different knowledge, you know, and a lot of young folks that's getting this new information, you know, that's strong and can really cause change. We're getting confused by certain teachings, you know, certain Hebrews saying that this is false knowledge, and certain brothers saying this is false knowledge, and they saying certain things, and certain things add up, but certain things does not. You know, as a young brother that's moving into the light, we're trying to find the true information because there's so many different versions of information out there. You got the Melchizedek and Islam. You know, what, as young melanated beings, what are we really supposed to be getting into? What can I really look into? What tell me what the Most High was talking about this, these mutated beings that's on this planet?
Well, let me make a suggestion. Okay, first listen to the broadcast I did last week about, and this will answer some questions about the melanin. The one thing that I would make a suggestion on is there's a lot of stuff out there, and I was in your shoes. Let me just tell you, I listened to a lot of stuff, brother, here and there, and then I just had to. And then after a while, it became just loud noise. Okay, it was just loud noise, and I needed silence. So I just started to study on my own, and I started to study where did I start? I started with looking at this word and looking at different conspiracies, and then things started to become clear. But what's happening now is because we're finding out who we are, it's kind of like a water hose, but not a water hose, a fire hose is being sprayed at us. We are getting fully hosed with information. And if you are awake and you are starting to understand, everything's coming at you. And now you have to know how to distinguish it and cipher it out. Now, brother, this is what HuaNet's for, okay? HuaNet is looking for people that are pretty much awake to what's going on. And then we can go offline, and we can all talk. There can be about 10 of us, or 8 of us, or 5 of us, or 4 of us, or 3, even 2 of us. Just call each other offline. Take this information that we have, and we actually speak real. I mean, we don't say the things that we would say online because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, and I'm not trying to cause division, and I'm not trying to cause arguments because that's distraction. But when we're offline, I say what I need to say in order to make a person understand where this stuff is coming from. You see what I'm saying, brother?
Right.
Okay, so what I advise you to do is you send me your information, and we're going to talk offline, and then I can show you how to really start to study this, or show you how I did it, because I can't show you anything until you want to do it yourself. But now, when it comes to, like, the different teachers out there, everybody has a little bit of this, of truth, if you want to call it the truth, okay? Everybody has something. You take what you can, and then the rest of it, you just got to throw it away. And they did that purposely because they know that if we get a full understanding, which is a question you had about what do we do with it, if we get a full understanding of this, then we can actually create an attack plan. Now, what's an attack plan? An attack plan is being totally confident in the information that you received and call them on it. Okay? Now, where am I coming from? Well, I'm coming from the stance of a Hebrew of the Sidi Yaakov. A lot of these other brothers are coming from their Egyptian stance or the Moorish stand or whatever stand that they come from. I'm not criticizing that because I don't know. That might be who they are. Okay? And from their information, they probably are that. But from their stand, they have to tell this power structure, this is who we are, and this is what we want done. Now, where I'm from, as a Hebrew, the Sidi Yaakov, I know that there are people in Israel that are pretending to be my people. Okay? Now, I spend almost 2 years now proving that those people aren't the people because they are not people of color. Okay, now as we're proving that, we're finding out about the Neanderthal and all the stuff that happened. So what we're doing is we're getting enough brothers and sisters strong enough in this information that they can stand up with confidence, without swaying, without falling, with the truth behind them and the word, with confidence and bravery, and say to those people that are pretending to be us, step down, step aside, and leave this world alone. Because if we don't say that, they're going to continue to build the FEMA camps, continue to take the gold, continue to enslave our people and to steal Africa and start these wars, and they're all doing it in the name of Israel, right? But we know that Israel was nothing but something that was created. But if you don't know that it's created, then you won't be able to stand on that. If you don't understand the history about it, and you don't understand the knowledge about it, then you can't stand on it with authority. And that's what we're supposed to do. We need to be here in authority. If they kill me tomorrow, I don't give a damn. I'm saying I know that I'm right in this. And you have to be willing to right. die for what you believe in. If you're not willing to die what you believe in, don't even bother. Okay? If I'm wrong and I'm willing to die in me being wrong, then I just died ignorant. But at least I stood for something. But I know I'm right. wrong. Okay? And if they're going to kill me for this, so be it. Brother, they're trying to cut off me when I speak on the phone. I can't use Skype. They're trying to make me call them. You know what I'm saying? There's like a lot of things that they're doing behind the scenes that I believe that are trying to slow me up. But I don't care, brother. When you don't listen, when you don't fear these demons, when you don't fear them, that's when they're scared. What else can they take from me? If they take my life, so what? I don't care.
Right, brother.
You know? And if we all can stand on that and start telling them people to get the hell out of Israel because you ain't the people, they're supposed to be people of color, and tell all these fake Christians, wake the hell up and look at the people for what it is and stop trying to pretend who you are and start telling them about their history, about the slave trade and about all the things that you did, how they're hypocrites and how they used the Catholic Church to sign the Damascus to put us into slavery for 400 years and how they're still using that to take over Africa. We need to take a stand. We are in the United States of America. We are American citizens that have the ability to speak. We got the strongest military on the planet. We supposed to got the Constitution. We have freedom of speech to speak. Damn it, we need to start speaking. That's what we can do about this, brother.
Oh, yeah, right on the call for brother, because here right here in Michigan, Detroit, you know, our people so lost, man, with all these 800 so plus churches on every corner, you know, people was impoverished, you know, to the maximum extreme, and, you know, people still, you know, blinded by the foolish and the fakery of that religion, man, that's been manipulated by the oppressor, you know, and it's hard to get through a lot of people because of the program mind, you know, they've been programmed on for so long. That's what I'm fighting every day. You know, I'm standing in truth, you know, because I got that shockwave back in 2008 when I really got awoken. You know, like it's time. You know, I don't know if everybody felt that feeling around that point in time because, you know, since I've been a child, you know, the Most High been talking through me, and I knew falsehoods and stuff like that. You know, always been, you know, if people been against me my whole life. But, you know I already know I stood in light and for righteousness. You know, but I'm just going to stand firm, brother. You just hit it on the point for me.
Oh, well, I'm happy, brother. And brother, you know, I would love to speak with you more, and I hope that you give us your information. And, you know, let's start making a powerful force to fight these demons, and we do it together, you know?
Give me the website name again, brother, one time and write it down.
Okay, it's Whounet.
H-W-U.
Yeah, N-E-T.
N
and E.T. dot.
Mhm. And it's dot O-R-G, whoinet.org.
Okay, I got it, brother.
And if you want to call Brother D and I, we'll be talking to people during the week. Well, we talk to each other during the week now, but we'll talk to you during the week. And, you know, we'll, you know, just call us up, brother.
Shalom. Thanks for that, brother. I will be in touch.
Shalom. You're welcome, brother. Hey, Brother D, got anything to say? Anybody?
Yeah, man, that was good. Good call, man. Just reflecting on what he was saying. Yeah, he, you know, that's what we need now. We need more people willing to look at the truth and see what's been done to us with mind control. I mean, I would hope that it would be that easy to wake up and say, okay, we know who we are, and then, you know, I can take that same mind control that I had and just change the names of everything and yell, okay, I'm the people. It's us. I'm a part of the people. But it's a process, man.
Yeah.
It's a process, and you have to. Some of our people don't want to hear it. They get offended. And I understand that. It's tough getting over mind control, man. It is. You really, when you look at it, you want to fight because you want to survive. And you just can't believe that, okay, this was done to me. And then you hang on to everything that you've been taught because it's safe.
Yeah.
You will get to the point where you just say, you know what? I don't want safety. I want truth.
Yep.
I want the truth. So you have to put it down. It's ugly to see it. It's an ugly thing to have to look at mind control and see what condition you've been put in. And that brother that was just on the air, he's done that.
Yeah.
And if you could have five more like him, you can make an impact, man.
It's not going to take as much. It's not going to take much of us, man. You know, it ain't going to take much of us if we start speaking this truth and we're bold with it and we know. Okay, I did. They live because we sleep. Okay, and you can clearly see it if you look at the book of Yasser. And look at the book that they gave to us in the Bible and see what actually happened between just the name God, in that name God, and understand that what they have told us isn't true. Just that alone will get you an understanding on, oh, okay, there's been some manipulation going on here. And if you can manipulate one part, you can manipulate many parts. And then you realize that the people that are supposed to be teaching us and leading us are nothing but lying. They're nothing but liars. Okay? And if this name Israel was manipulated, and we got people calling themselves Israel, naming a state after this manipulation, that means we got people that have no understanding pretending to be the Sidi Yaakov. That right there should have been the pillar that got knocked down and they fell on their butt. I want to say something else, but you know, it's a family show. So, but all I'm saying is that, you know, we just need to wake up. Is someone saying something?
No, that was me.
Oh, okay. All right, but you got anything to add to that, brother?
No, man, like I said, it was just powerful words that brother brought. We needed to hear what he had to say today. That was good. You can feel him when he's talking, so. You know, he's strong in his spirit, so that's what we need, brother.
You know, the thing is, brother, I don't understand why are we so fearful. You know?
No.
What are we scared of, man? Is it our mind control that makes us fearful? Are we scared that we're going to lose our money? Are we scared that they're going to make us look like buffoons in the media?
Ooh, wait. They've done that already, right?
Hey, brother, what are we scared of? Are we scared that they're going to enslave us?
Oh, they've done that.
Man, what have they done to us that they have not done to us? What are we fearful of?
They've done it all, man. So there's only one thing left to do. Stand up. Face the bully.
Stand up. Brother, think about this. Do we really think that we have a different view in the eyes of the usurper? Do you think that now that it is 2012, that they think of us any different than they did in 1865?
Nope.
1776?
Still the same.
Seriously, though. So if we still look the same in the eyes of the usurper and those in power, the white power structure, are we scared of our image being degraded by him? Are we scared of him throwing us in prison? How many of us are in prison? We scared of our freedom being taken away? Really? Are we scared of us not being able to participate in the Constitution? What in the hell are we scared of? We ain't got nothing to lose. So we got this religion called Christianity that made us so much better. Oh, really? Our neighborhoods, the black neighborhoods have all this crack in them. We got these poverty pimps running around. We got these so-called leaders, like I mentioned earlier, that ain't doing a damn thing for us, but yet we want to defend that. We want to call on the name Jesus. Now, at one point, that name was extremely precious to me. You say something about that name, we were fighting. But then I had to learn that that was a manipulation. There's no J, Yahushua. Now, that you may say, well, but that don't mean nothing to steal Jesus. No, no, no. There's a lot in that. Because those that told you that was the name are the ones that are in control right now. The ones that you are so scared to offend. You are so scared to offend these people that don't give a damn about you. Are you really that fearful that you will stay in this state of mind control and not do a damn thing about it? I say stuff about the Anunnaki, and you want to defend it. You want to defend the mind control that they placed you in to keep you under bondage. And when someone is trying to tell you a way out of this bondage, you want to just dog them out and go right back in it. Or are you trying to take that little pennies that you're getting? You get a little bit of change. Let me tell you about this change that you want, this little bit of money that you think you're trying to hold on to. Brother, do you remember earlier this week when I was talking about the gold bar, the gold bars, and I was telling you that a long time ago, okay, y'all come with me on this one, a long time ago. Are we going to answer your call 1 second, 807? I'm just going to answer this. I just want to make this analogy really quick. Now, a long time ago, when we were in a continent that they call Africa, okay, we would live by an ocean, and it was beautiful weather. Sun was shining. If you wanted to eat some food, you would just plant your garden and have the most freshest food. You can just pick it up and eat it. If you wanted to fish, you would just go out there and fish and get the best fish and just eat it. You would have your wife and your kids or your husband, you know what I'm saying, and whatever. I don't want this to be like on a male perspective, but you would have your family, and it would be beautiful weather, and all of that was just free for the taking. This was yours in Africa. You know what I'm saying? You would have fresh cakes, big bacon. You know, I mean, like, true life, just living under the sun, wonderful. Now, someone comes by and says, look, here's a gold bar. Would you trade this gold bar for that life? And some foolish people back in the day did it. Now we got this gold bar. Now, what are we trying to buy with that gold bar? The same happiness that we had for free. Everybody wants to buy a car because it makes them feel good. Everybody wants to buy an apartment because it makes them feel good. We're just buying feelings, temporary things that only make us feel good by these little bit of change. that currency was created by the usurper. If you look in the pictures on the broadcast that I did, all that gold is stored in these big storage facilities. They can't do nothing with that gold. They can't eat it. They can't even, I mean, they may use it for to make a couple little electronic goods, like some computers. But other than that, it's pretty much a worthless rock. So we have a worthless rock that they use as currency versus beautiful land. What do they do with this worthless rock? They create a currency with the IMF so they can go and give you a loan to take your resources and your land. So the point I'm trying to make before I get too much into this is that what we need to understand is that this thing that we're looking at called money is not worth a damn thing, because the people that are taking this money and saying that it's worth something are now using that same money to destroy the system, manipulating the price of gold, taking away the dollar. These people, okay, are the ones that we're scared of. And this is what we are scared to lose, these worthless pennies, when we have the opportunity now to speak in truth. And if we speak truth to power and bring down who they are right now, we'll get our land back. We'll kick them people out. Right now we have the opportunity to join with the people that are now seeing themselves being taken by the same people that took us. And if we can join with them and uproot these usurpers, these thieves, then we won this. But you have to stand up, and you have to stop being fearful. All right, brother. I just want to say
okay. Caller 870. Caller 870, you on?
Hi, it's Jeanette.
Hey, Jeanette.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now, I agree with y'all about people need to get the spirit and get braver and come forward and speak out and put down the right things on their sights. Break away from these pagan names. When I see Israelites using the word Lord and God, and I'm so sick of it.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway.
You know,
I know everybody's going down so many different paths, but it seems like things are starting to fall together more for courage and strength, and some people are starting to break away from a lot of the I'm seeing maybe one at a time breaking away from all the deception that the Israelites have gotten on the wrong path and getting into this. So I feel like it's going to fall into place.
Yeah, it will. Definitely.
Okay, you can go on.
Thank you so much for calling, Jeanette.
You're welcome.
Got anything to say about that, Brother D?
No, I say we just have to keep, like I say, keep working on this. You know, we got to get out of this mind control, and we have to keep learning, man. Just, we got time. We still have time to do that. So.
Yeah, we're okay.
We know what's
that.
Going on. We can be watchful and praying, and you know, but we have time to do research. And you're gonna have to go into a panic and say, "I don't have time." You do have time.
Yeah.
Somebody said 5 years ago or 10 years ago, "I don't have time." Now I'm not saying that, you know, you got all the time in the world, but it's time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because remember, what do they have to do? They have to create order out of chaos. You know, first they got to create the chaos, then they create the order. So this is what we're looking at right now. We're looking at chaos. Well, this is what they're creating. Now, we can't have a chaotic mind. We have to be calm. We got to be calm in this chaos. And if we can be calm in this chaos, they really hate that. There's one thing that they do not want, and that's people not to be, that one thing that they do not want, and that is people that are not afraid of them. If you have no fear of them, what can they do to you? They have to kill you. And if they kill, a chosen of the Most High, a seed of the Most High, oh, man, I feel for them.
He'll just replace you with another great person to help his cause, to help the Father's cause.
Look, it's like whenever you kill somebody that is trying to do what's right, it never is good for those that are trying to do what's wrong. It's never good.
True.
Never good. So that's why I tell everybody, look, there's nothing to fear. You know, I mean, we pretty much lost the America that was supposed to be the bastion of freedom. Bastion of freedom. I probably said that wrong. Anyway, it's gone. You know, they're trying to squeeze us out. Now they're hoping that.
You know, white people should keep going on with their bullcrap, with their chaotic bullcrap, when it's right in our faces of what they've done and what they continue to do and what their plan is. You know, the joke's on them.
Well, you know what they. You know, it's vital that they wake up now. I mean, Brother D and I crack up a lot and we joke a lot about, you know, what they're going to have to say. They're going to have to start yelling who the culprit is. And someone's going to be like, it's them damn Jews. And I laugh because everybody, when you say that, everybody has that pre-emotion, that feeling of like, oh, man, that's so anti-Semitic. And then, but that right there was a mind control mechanism. Because if those people aren't what you think they are, and when you say Jew and you don't know the history of that, then it's an effective tool to keep you blind. But when you know who they are, and you're like, wait a minute, you ain't even the people. Get out. Then the people that are being victimized by them can boldly speak who they are, and they can't argue against the truth. And that's why it's important that we do what we do, so when those scared people that are scared to actually call out the people that are destroying them see the true knowledge, they can actually start speaking, using this thing that they say, freedom of speech, to actually speak out against those that are destroying them. I mean, everybody knows about the PACs and all these things that are being used to lobby Congress for these laws. Everybody knows that. You look through history, and you see now, if you look, right now I'm doing a study on the genocide, and I'm looking at the Armenian genocides, the Greek genocides, the Ukrainian genocides that nobody speaks about. Do a study on these genocides for yourself, and you see that it has the same pattern. The elite of the world create these this discord in these areas. They gather up all of the scholars and the people that have the most of the intellectuals. They kill them off because the intellectuals will explain what's going on. They kill the intellectuals off, and then they starve the people with famine, and they wipe out millions of people. There's been so many Holocausts, but yet those in Israel will not even mention those Holocausts, even though they went around the same time they did. Now, why is that? Because they're using it to remain in power. Now, let me give you an example. This weekend, I was telling Brother D about this. I was watching the X-Men, okay? The X-Men, the Uncanny X-Men, First Class. Now, this is a comic book for children, all right? Now, what do they use in the X-Men? Magneto, fictitious character. Okay, you start to show off, and what do they have? They have him being in the concentration camp, his mom being a Holocaust victim, and then they have his mom being shot by this Nazi played by, I don't know the guy, anyway, it doesn't matter. The point I'm trying to say is that we are looking at Hollywood exploit something that was extremely horrible. Just because I speak about the Jews, I am not talking about the Holocaust. That is a horrible thing. I feel for those people. I am angry seeing that happen to people, the starvation and the killing, okay? But there was many Holocausts, the Ukrainian Holocaust, the Armenian Holocaust. None of it's good. It's the elite killing the poor and the peasants for their own gain. So now what we're looking at is people being exploited for Hollywood. Can you imagine if someone were to put the create a comic book and put something so serious as the Holocaust in it? Well, you don't have to imagine. It's already being done. Look at the X-Men. They're exploiting what happened to those people to sell some damn movies. And nobody's saying anything about it. Why? Well, who runs Hollywood? Can you imagine if someone else did that? They'd be called anti-Semitic, it'd be on ADL, the movie wouldn't be watched. Come on, people. Wake up. Hey, Brother D, you got any comments?
No, man, that does make sense. They're going to... People do want to say it anyway. They know who's creating all of this havoc and takedowns around the earth and in TV. They can't blame it on black people. And see, now they're so stuck because it's happening to them. So it's just right down the tip of their tongue. They just want to say it. And I'm telling you, one of them are going to get bold enough, and he's going to lose it and just say it. God damn Jews!
Hey.
And there you're going to have it.
That's where it's
spotlight
at.
On him after that.
That's the truth. You know? I mean, you can call it what you can call it, anti-Semite. You can call it anything you want, but that's the truth. And damn it, if that's what it is, that's what it is. Okay? But we have to get But we have to get more understanding on that. You see, they want us to know, and they want us to say it's these people because they have a plan with that also. But these people are lying about who they are. They're using the Most High. They're actually using the Most High to bring forth what they want. Okay, and something I wanted to say, it just slipped my mind. These people are using the ADL, the PACs. Oh, this is what I want to say. What we really should be looking at is these elite, because there's only a small families that are actually using those people in Israel. Because actually, if you look at the people in Israel, not all of them support what's going on. A lot of them are victims. Now, we really have to state that, even though a lot of us don't care for these people that much because of what they've done to us and how they feel about us. But they are still victims under mind control as well. They're useful tools, useful idiots for a very small group of people. And those small group of people are in Israel, they're in Belgium, they're in the United States. They're in Great Britain. They're spread all over the world, but they're just small elites. And they're just taking over the resources of everybody. And they're using these people. And they're using that land. And they're lying about it. They know I'm telling the truth. We know who they are. I mean, we can follow them to the Rothschilds, but it goes even deeper than that. There's more families than the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds is the ones that are out there. They'll let them out there, but we can follow them back. It's the elite. It's always going to be the elite. It's the monarchs. It's the highly paid politicians, all these people pretending to be Jews or the Sidi Yaakov. Pretending to be the Sidi Yaakov. And you have to understand, where did that name Jew come from? You got to understand Esau and the Edomites. I want to mention that too. People are criticizing and trying to continue to make Esau the white man. That's where the white man come from, Esau. and you keep arguing about that. Why? What do you have to gain on being wrong? Okay? Now, if you can understand that Esau became the white man, or Esau was usurped. Actually, no, Esau wasn't usurped. I keep saying that. Esau was happily welcoming. He was happily integrating with these people. Willingly. He was a willing participant. Okay? If you understand that, then you can call him the white man if you want. But if you want to be more accurate, do a research. Do some research on that willing participation. Okay? And then you'll start to see that there's a little bit more to that story. And it's more powerful to understand that than just saying Esau's a white man. And if you're going to study on the book of Maccabees, read the whole book, section by section. Read everything, and don't overlook the part where Edom was in the land. Edom was forcibly circumcised. If the people of Edom were circumcised forcibly, then that means that they weren't being circumcised prior to that. They never were. They were heathens. Now we have people in the land becoming Jews. They're coming in, we're getting pushed out. See, that's a little bit of understanding that we really need to know. But if we want to just get rid of all that understanding just because we want to be right that Esau's the white man, then you're doing a disservice for you and everybody that listens to you. Okay? That's all I got to say about that. Do you want to have any comment on that, Brother D?
Yeah, well, like I say, you have to just look at history, brother. That's all you have to do. It's right there in the Bible. You see little code words in the Bible. You see what run Esau's genealogy before Mount Seir. Run it before Mount Seir, see who he mixed with. Then he takes his family and he goes to Mount Seir. And by that time, you know, there's somebody else up there in the mountains waiting on him. They call Horites, and you go look that up in a strong concordance. You're going to know. He'll tell you exactly who it was. Now he mixes in with them. Now we have these people who are calling themselves dukes. You got to look at that word duke and not think about it in terms of how it's been explained to us today. You keep looking into that word duke, you're going to be surprised. But it's going to make you laugh when you find out the word Duke is so closely tied to the word Neanderthal. I laugh at it because when we find this stuff out, they're so ashamed of their history that they have to rewrite it and give it different meanings.
Yep.
But that word Duke, something else. Read Genesis 36. You'll start to see some things developing there.
And brother, to back you up on how ashamed they are, think about it. Prior to them admitting that the Neanderthal gene was in that European, before the Neanderthal was hunchback, he was dumb, he was like an ape, he was all stupid. And now they're like, oh, he was highly intelligent. He walked upright. he spoke four languages. No, I'm just joking. He played instruments. He was an artist. Now this Neanderthal is bad. You know what I'm saying? Before he was, you know, they were calling us, what was it, two-thirds human, and we were apes, and they were measuring our skulls. They were just looking for that damn Neanderthal.
You say he played music, right?
Yeah, he was playing a flute.
Ooh.
They found him.
Crafty with metals and stuff like that too, right?
Yeah, he was a metal worker. He was metal.
I remember somebody in Genesis 4. Tubal Cain?
Tubal Cain.
Wait a minute.
Well, who was the musical? Who was the one that was the music I don't know what demon was that that was good with music. I don't know, man. I just don't know.
Well, you know, it makes me wonder where did Cain go. We got this offspring that's making music and making instruments, and he's good with iron as in Iron Age, Bronze Age. Look it up.
Highly intelligent. You know, hey, I don't know, brother. I'm at a loss. You know. But wait, Esau's the white man, so don't worry about that. Don't even think that, because you know what I'm saying? It starts at Esau. Don't go back any further. Stick with Esau. Okay? That's what you need to do.
Yeah, well, it's deeper than that. Goes back a lot further than that, too, so.
Okay, I think, does anybody else have any calls? Are those calls, did we answer those already, or is there more?
203 and 870 still have their hands up, so you can check, see if they have anything else to say. I'll check 203 first.
Yeah, you'll see if they have anything else to say.
Oh, hello. I don't have anything else to say. I was just listening. My fault. I thought I had put my hand down.
Okay, sis. 870. You have anything else to say, brother?
I said no. I didn't know that I did not put my hand down.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, brother, you can go ahead on.
Okay. You know, I'm really hoping that, you know, the woman that was criticizing said that I was a fraud in the chat room. I was hoping that she would call in and explain what she meant, you know. But I couldn't, you know, she didn't call in, brother.
No, she was too busy in the chat room trying to teach.
Oh, okay. That's what it was.
Too busy trying to teach. Because only if she was able to disturb you, then she'll come in. But, you know, you made this. I know you made this broadcast so she could come in, but we don't hear from her.
I said, look, I want to be fair. If I wrote it, and I said, would you like to speak? Anything that you say, you can uninterrupt it. She can talk, and she just don't want to call, man. Hey. Anyway, well. You know, maybe sometime in the future. But she'll probably write something on the comment. You know, something mm-hmm. on the comment. She'll probably
I'm
pray
sure.
for me again, brother. She'll probably pray for me again. Okay.
Pray, huh?
Yeah, she's going to pray. She'll pray
okay.
for me, brother. Let me see. We got like 9 minutes and 50 seconds left. I'm pretty much... like I said, I did this broadcast for those that have questions and also to try to motivate people into learning for yourself and doing your research. And, one more thing, the email. I sent an email out talking about Gmail, how I believe that it's a CIA information gathering front, you know, and I'm not the only one that believes that. I think a lot of people actually talk about that. Twitter, Gmail, Google, all of it, is they put in a database, and then they basically control your web experience. They can actually take your the IP address that you come from, the hardware that you use, and store it in a database, and anywhere you go on the Internet, they know what you've done. So my suggestion is we decouple, okay? Meaning, like, you don't use Google, you try to use Start Page, you don't sign up for any of these free services, and start using alternative means to communicate. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to, like I tried earlier before, with WhoaNet, I can expand WhoaNet. If people want to talk to me offline, and then we can set up a place where people can get emails on WhoaNet. But I have to tell you how to do it, because what we can do is, like, I'll tell you what I actually pay for the service, and then if you want to help out with that, then we'll expand it where we can actually have maybe 1,000 different emails or more, you know. And if we can do that, then we'll have our emails on our server where we can communicate with each other. And then we can expand the way we communicate, building our own network that way. That's a solution, okay? But it's going to cost a little bit of money to do it. But we'll sit down, we'll look at the plan, and we can do it that way as a solution. We can talk offline if someone wants to do that. And send me an email if you want more information on it. But I think we got like 5 minutes, so I'm going to – do you have anything else to say, Brother D?
Yeah, I think somebody was asking if you wanted to do if you were going to do a Skype after this. I guess they had some more questions. But yes. I just wanted to see if I could get just – I want to go over this right quick. Hopefully I'll get it right.
Okay. Let's
get some understanding of what you, you know, what you were going over last week, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the cane bone connected to the Neanderthal bone. Neanderthal bone is connected to the Japheth bone. And the Japheth bone is connected to the Canaan bone and the Esau bone. And the Esau bone is connected to the Khazar bone and the Ashkenazi bone. And the Ashkenazi bone is connected to the Anunnaki bone. And the Anunnaki bone is connected right back to the Neanderthal bone. Them bones.
Yep. The Neanderthal bone connected to the Khazar bone. Exactly, brother. And there we have the deception. Everybody needs to understand where it comes from and who this is. Okay, I'm going to say a quick prayer.
Okay,
and we're going to do a Skype call. I'll make sure I get on Skype. That's it, because it was kicking me off, but I'm pretty sure, hopefully, we'll be all right. Okay, Father, I want to thank you for bringing us together. I ask that somebody got something from what we discussed today. Father, I pray for bravery for our brothers and sisters. I pray that you give them a strong heart and let them know that you are with them, O Father. Do not let them fear death, O Father, because we all got to die. Death is coming for all of us. But we should be strong in knowing that if we die for you, then we have life, O Father. And if we die for something that's right, if we die for something that is worthy for you, because that's what you put us here for, O Father, then we do it knowing that we are serving you. Father, I pray that you just give us bravery and understanding, and I pray that you let these words not just fall on deaf ears. I ask that people will do research, O Father, and understand it. I thank you, Father, for giving me this information. I thank you for blessing me. I ask that you continue to keep a humble heart, and I pray that you make a way that we can communicate if this Internet goes offline. I thank you, Father, for my friends. I thank you especially for Brother D for being there and helping me with this information. And I pray for that sister that called in, O Father, and that brother that called in, O Father. I thank you in the name of Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Okay, everybody. Okay, I'm going to play this is Black History Month, right? Black History Month. So I'm going to play Martin Luther. It's going to be the mountaintop speech. Okay, y'all, see y'all on Skype, and have a good week. Y'all bless.
We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming.